Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Michael Jantz, co-founder of Agency Revolution. And I want to welcome you to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast, brought to you by Agency Revolution, creators of Attract, a suite of powerful marketing tools and assets that enable you to spend less time on marketing and more time growing your business. Attract will give you the technology and the content you need to find your ideal prospect and turn them into your best customer. Speaking of Attract, today's topic is not on the big picture trend strategic side. It is on the practical tactical stuff you can do by Tuesday side. It is focusing on an area of, in my experience, growing interest, not just to the world, but growing interest to serious marketers in the insurance industry, Facebook advertising. And full disclosure, as you'll quickly discover, my guest is also my vendor. I am his client. And so, as I mentioned in the podcast, when I want to load my marketing funnel on the technology side, Dave Ellis is the guy that I turn to. These are some of the things that we cover, and I do think it's really important, first of all, for everybody who wants new leads. I think you'll pick up a subtle but very, very important distinction I make between the difference between bad leads and good leads. And so we do talk a little bit about how to make sure that you're targeting what you want. Very, very important. And then we also cover 4 steps to a Facebook marketing / advertising campaign, not just one step. And so I want to encourage you to pay really close attention to that part of it. If you take the ad just out of context, out of the context of the funnel, which we do talk about a little bit, then your Facebook advertising can be a failure. If you put it in the context of a very well-engineered funnel, which then hopefully gets fit within the context of a very well-engineered marketing overall map, a core strategy, and a direction, then you've got a winner. So we also talk about some of the very specific do's and don'ts in Facebook advertising, and the model that Dave relies on. He also shares a short but really interesting story about one itty-bitty thing he did to get a 400% increase in competing Facebook ads in a split test. And then we also do, I ask Dave to give his overview on kind of the big picture of social platforms for advertising, the big four: Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. And then we wind it up with a look at where this is all going, where the social platform advertising is going. A very quick note on social. Some of you may have noticed, and maybe not, that I have been almost completely inactive on social, and I talk about this in the podcast, so I won't get into it now, but am now sneaking my way slowly back in for reasons that I'm more than willing to share, but I'm sneaking my way in. And so if you want to follow me, and gosh and by gollies, you should, then follow me on Instagram and follow me on LinkedIn. Those are the two that I'm reactivating now, and then in a few weeks, maybe a week or 2 weeks, we'll be more active on Twitter and more active on Facebook. But for now, follow me on Instagram. Follow me on LinkedIn. You will find out about some of the really neat stuff that's happening and some of the upcoming interviews that I'm doing, and so on and so on and so forth. So now, without further ado, It is my privilege to introduce to you a friend of mine, as well as a professional colleague, Dave Ellis. Dave Ellis, thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. you know me well enough that I'm just generally happy with the way things are going these days. So, yes, but I appreciate you asking. So we are going to talk about what's working, what's not in Facebook advertising. I think we're going to talk about why agents should be paying very close attention to this, but also I want us to be, and I know you will be very discriminating about when it should be used and where it should be used and how it should be used, but also when it should not be used and how it should not be misused. And so this is one of the practical tacticals. And so we're going to dive into, I think to some extent, stuff that people can do on Tuesday, right? Like, I can actually get this stuff done, or they can learn enough that they know that this is a tactic that they want to insert at some point in their marketing map, hopefully in the next, well, very short period of time. All right, so let's dive into it. Dave, first of all, thumbnail sketch, how did you get to where you are as literally one of the nation's leading experts in Facebook advertising?
You know, I started off just doing marketing for myself. I never thought that I wanted to become some type of an expert for other people. I started off with my own businesses, and I had to drive traffic to those businesses. So I had to learn lead generation, and eventually I had to learn paid ads, and I had to do print ads and all different types. But I found that my actual skill set was much greater when it came to doing the advertising and the marketing, much more than running the business itself. So I stepped back and I started doing marketing for others, and it made me even better at what I was doing. And I started being able to work with some of the greatest people in the industry, like yourself.
Okay. Clearly, after sucking up, I suppose we should make full disclosure, which is Dave is my guy. So when Michael Janz wants to add more clients into his marketing funnel and leads into the funnel, Dave is the guy that I turn to. So he's my technology support team. And so, yes, full disclosure, want everybody to be aware of the fact that we have a relationship. So,
Absolutely. And
I am grateful that you made that switch. And so I know that you have areas of expertise in technology that go beyond Facebook advertising, but that's the topic that I want to focus on today.
So, absolutely.
Let's kind of, the way that I would like to approach this, Dave, is to go big picture and then down into the actual, you know, what's working, what's not. But let's kind of start let's start with a very big picture on Facebook. Facebook has been in the news a lot for many, many months, and a lot of the news is unfavorable. Mm-hmm. It's not uncommon that, you know, on my news feed, I'll see a picture of Zuckerberg. And it's sometimes, oh, here's a picture of Mark Zuckerberg, you know, walking into a Senate hearing or something like that. Look at the glum look on his face. And I think, you know, and frankly, this morning, I think I saw headlines, you know, maybe it was from the current administration, that the large tech companies, Facebook, Amazon, as I recall, Google were the three that were mentioned. I don't know, maybe if Tim Cook is out of the doghouse at Apple, I don't know. You know, but that they may all be facing antitrust action. So I mean, so there's a lot going on in that social world. What do you think is? Give us the big snapshot of what's happening in the world of Facebook these days.
You know, it's a great question. It's a great place to start. So what's happening is that Facebook, when they first got into the game, they needed to compete with Google, who had 90%, really, of the entire audience. Some people would do some ads on the side with banners here and there on news sites, but the majority of all marketing was Google until Facebook came around. Now, when Facebook came out, they thought where Google went wrong was that Google was targeting based off of keywords And instead, they wanted to target by personality because it was a social network, which allowed much better targeting because you were able to get into the psychology of your customer. Well, where that went wrong is that they started breaking down people's psychology so well based on different types of groups and interests and things that they would like and places they'd spend their time that other people were able to get access to that information and start running things that they don't need to be doing, you know?
Okay. So when you say other people got access to that information, so I think you're saying surreptitiously that they hacked into the system, right?
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Because the quality, the granular quality and nature of the data that they have is rather mind blowing, right?
It is.
Yeah. Okay.
It's very mind blowing.
So in some ways, maybe they did exactly the right thing from an advertiser or marketer's perspective by making that possible, making possible what was not previously possible. But where they went wrong was the security gate was a little bit low, right?
Exactly.
But
I could have said it better myself.
Okay, so where are we now with that?
So what they're doing is they're trying to take down some of the pieces without ruining the marketing platform that made Facebook what it is today.
So they're going to take so many businesses so much money. Okay, naturally they're trying to raise the security gate, right? Make that
of course.
But so are you saying that they're also eliminating some of the kind of that granular?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so where are we now? What does that mean to today's advertiser and marketer?
Well, it means that you need to have a higher understanding of your targeted market than you did before. Facebook marketing was made so simple in the beginning that many people could just jump on and start their own ad and start picking audiences that just sounded familiar. You could say, I know people like my, you know, within the insurance industry, I know the people that are going to like me, who like my type of personality and the way that we do things that are really going to accentuate our sales and our growth because we're working on these relationships long term. Somebody that likes that is also going to like the same movies I like. And they're going to like the same, you know, places that I like to hang out because it's within this town or this area. So you're able to start picking your demographic based off of those very broad audiences. And even though you wouldn't see amazing conversion rates, you would see conversions because you're right. You could fish for people in that pond.
Right. Okay. So what they've done now is
they've reduced those major areas. So now people's specific targeting that they already had set up, which was based off of likes, interests, different pages, those things are disappearing to where you can't target based off of very broad groups that were easier audiences. So now you have to create your own custom audience by bringing that pond to your page or your business and then filtering it and fine-tuning it down to where you find your customers and then retargeting based off of that broad audience.
Got it. All right. So I want to make sure that we're dealing with that. I don't know that I'm ready to dive into like the what to do about it situation.
Okay.
But I'm making a note right now. It seems to me, okay, that's it. But before we do that, I have to dive into some of these kind of bigger trend issues because I want to see where you think this part of the industry, digital advertising, is going. So you made references to, for example, Facebook versus Google, okay?
Yeah.
So now, a marketer is, you know, sitting in their seat thinking, all right, I want to load up my funnel with good quality leads. And of course, there are a lot of ways to do that. I do not want to imply that social media is the only place that you can go get folks. But let's say somebody has some clarity about their core strategy and has some clarity about their online strategy. And now they're looking at, okay, within the online world, I want to get clarity on my social strategy. And now we're actually chunking it down one more time. I want to get clarity on my social advertising strategy, which is what we're mostly focusing on here. So now there are a lot of choices that a marketer has to make. And I want you to be transparent. I know you've got your areas of expertise. But now somebody has to say, well, I know that I can advertise on Facebook. I can advertise on the Google platform. I can advertise in Instagram. I can advertise on or through LinkedIn. Where do you want me to stop? You know, I mean, I could reasonably I'll stop at the big four. And so how does or how do you think a marketer or an insurance agent in this case makes a decision about platform selection?
So platform selection comes down, in my opinion, to where you want to begin your process with the customer. Where are they in the process of shopping for insurance?
Mm-hmm.
For example, on Google, if you go onto Google to place your ad, you're going to most likely use a link ad, something that's going for text. You're going for a specific keyword.
Okay.
So you would say, you know, best insurance agent in San Francisco or something like that, right? That's a direct contact.
Okay. Can I not take responsibility for that exact quote, I think?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. I might have other counsel, but this is, for the sake of discussion, yes, continue.
Exactly. So you would pay an astronomical amount to be able to have that keyword.
Oh, right.
Right?
Oh, okay.
So that's
I sold a personal lines policy for $200. Okay.
Yeah, but the click alone was $200.
I know.
So, but it's lifetime value, right? So anyways, Google really specializes in allowing you to focus on where they are in their buying cycle.
Mm-hmm, right.
So if somebody is searching for something with a very specific intent, you can target to that person, but you're going to pay a lot because everybody else is also searching for that person with that intent. So the competition makes it to where only if you do deep research can you be exponentially profitable.
Mm-hmm.
So the other option would be then to go towards one of the other social media outlets.
Okay. So before we move on, so kind of just because we're not going to spend a lot of time on Google advertising, give us the bottom line. Give us the bottom line on when that's useful.
It's very expensive, but it's very useful if you know a very particular niche.
Okay, so
if you're an arborist in Colorado, or whatever, you know that you can target those very specific that type of a business and what they are looking for.
Okay,
if you specialize in that, you can do that really well with Google.
So general insurance advertising on Google, bad. Niche advertising, okay. Micro-niche advertising, good.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
I don't want to get into a long conversation about this now, but also the nature of what you're driving to and how high up the funnel you want to go are strategic decisions that an agent needs to make. But maybe we'll get into that later, but I know I will end up in a future podcast. Okay. So now, boom, we look at other platforms like LinkedIn or Instagram.
So LinkedIn helps you target business individuals. So if people are in, again, kind of like arborists, you would be able to look for that very particular niche on LinkedIn. So it allows you to say, rather than saying, I work with, arborists who specifically need lots of, insurance for their employees because they get hurt all the time, otherwise I'm just going to look for arborists in general. LinkedIn allows you to target arborists in general, based on career fields and things that they do within that industry.
Got it. Okay. Now, quick question. But before you move on, question.
Okay.
Facebook would allow you to do that as well, right?
People don't tend to utilize Facebook to talk about their jobs.
Right.
They tend to hide more of their work stuff on the Facebook platform, at least the casual users. And the casual users are usually what you're looking for when you're targeting
them. But they might put in their profile, they might identify as an arborist.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, got it. All right. Whereas on LinkedIn, they most certainly will identify as an arborist.
They most certainly will do it. Exactly.
Okay, got it. Now, so now, marketer is sitting there. I know we haven't jumped to Instagram yet, right? Marketer's sitting there saying, well, which one do I do? I've heard LinkedIn advertising is more expensive, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. What's your best answer to that person?
So it depends on, kind of like how you just touched on it, it's where in the marketing funnel they're currently trying to fill the lead.
Mm-hmm.
If it's the top of the funnel and they need very broad leads, then they shouldn't use LinkedIn, because LinkedIn isn't going to be as good for very broad leads. But if you want to derive the traffic directly to a sales page rather than getting email addresses or opting in,
mm-hmm.
then you would use LinkedIn, because you know exactly what their industry is and what they do and how they feel at work and the types of, you know, emotions that you can give them to be able to have an effective sales copy without having to do lead generation ahead of time.
Got it. All right. So Instagram.
Instagram is where all the younger people are. Basically, Instagram is the new happening social media outlet.
And when you say younger, like what do you think the current research, which is, if it's a week old, it's probably too old. What do you think the current research is saying or defining as younger in this case?
So slightly above millennial and younger.
Yeah.
So we would say 40s and younger.
Gen X maybe and millennial.
Okay. Exactly.
So very short story here. My audience may or may not have noticed, I used to be fairly active on, at least on some social platforms, Twitter, LinkedIn. And then when we went into the negotiations for the sale of Agency Revolution, frankly, I was looking for things not to do, right?
Yeah.
frankly, for me, social was easy. It's like, it's like I was so busy. And then mm-hmm. after the sale, it's just, there's a lot that you do. You take a breath, you kind of reassess what's going on. So I was not active on social for basically a year and a half, starting to sneak back in. So people might say, hey, it's about time, Michael Jans, the big marketers on social media. We all have sort of different approaches to this. In mine, it's lifestyle first. And so, you and I, we know that I'm approaching the launch of a new program. So it's fun to get back. So here's what I've noticed is that the Instagram audience is, yes, younger, but not also, a lot of the agents who I'm connecting or reconnecting with on Instagram, these guys, they're not 40, dude. They're way over 40.
For sure.
They do 10. However, they tend to be, sort of the self-aware, conscious of marketing as a critical skill.
Mm-hmm.
So they're probably maybe a little more the early adopters of that.
Absolutely.
As a platform, right?
Yeah, I would totally agree with
and
you.
They're probably straddling Facebook and Instagram,
mm-hmm.
and maybe some other stuff. On the other hand, for example, every single millennial insurance agent that I've interviewed in the last year and a half, they're all heavy Instagram users. Okay.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so the Instagram platform, good for the audience that's there. And mm-hmm. my observation is that it seems to be maturing as an advertising platform, eh?
It is.
Okay.
It's very quickly maturing, and it's catching up to Facebook. The only difference is that things that are also targeting aspects.
Right.
Then it allows you to do more highly targeted ads, whereas Instagram is still developing more communal-type activities to then allow people to participate, which then allows people to target better.
Right on. Okay, got it. All right. So now let's go back to Facebook. All right.
Okay.
So Facebook
is like the king right now. So mm-hmm. it allows you to target everything, and even though they're removing so many aspects every week, which kind of scares some people. I know that I've heard a lot of stories of people losing their entire Facebook campaigns right now. They were doing really, really amazing, and then now with the latest changes, there's nothing.
Ouch.
But there's a reason for that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. What's the reason?
And that reason is because they didn't do highly specified targeting in the beginning to allow themselves the opportunity to then have their own niche market. What they did uh-huh. is they went for mass traffic because they wanted volume. And that is the first major fault that I would say most new Facebook people who go into Facebook for advertising, they make. They think, everybody's my targeted customer, or there's a huge option of this available target, targeting traffic, right?
Yeah.
But every time somebody comes to your page or even likes you or comments on your page, that's going to start defining your custom audience. So you really don't want all traffic.
Right.
You want your customers always, just who that is.
So, this is really often where I start at the very, very beginning in working with individual clients is identification of the perfect client. And so I think to some extent what you're saying, I mean, we always say this, is that, any lack of clarity about the identification of the perfect client leads to some confusion. And I think you're saying in the Facebook world, even more so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's not get into the details of how to create or create the profile of the perfect client. But once you do that, what do you do in Facebook?
So the easiest way to get somebody involved in social media right now is to have some type of a giveaway, a competition, striving for something, because people are still, when they're on social media, they're looking for something to do. They're looking for a time filler and something that would eventually be profitable for them.
So that they don't have to work. So that they're not working. All right.
Right.
Can we exemplify this? So outside the insurance industry, without naming names, can you kind of pick a client or a composite client and walk through like the first part of the campaign that gets them to what you just described, that sort of contest concept?
Outside of the insurance?
Yeah. Most of your, I'm assuming that you don't have a lot of clients in the insurance industry, at least not yet. Give us an example of how that has worked for a client of yours.
Sure. So what we would do is we would have a giveaway, and we would choose something that is impactful for our targeted market.
Okay.
If your targeted market spends a lot of time on their phone, then maybe giving away a new higher-end phone would be an option. If they, are short on money, then giving away a Visa gift card would be a better option. So once you identify exactly who your target is and what it is that would incentivize them quickly to think of something and go, I'm going to stop what I'm doing, let me jump over and do that.
Uh-huh.
We would start the contest with them seeing the ad on Facebook, and it would allow them to begin the contest by liking the page, liking the ad, which then gives them a point. They are allowed to earn so many points per day, week, and month before the contest ends. And the person with the greatest amount of points gets the prize.
And so you as the marketer then get a dashboard and you can observe how your contest is going?
That's correct.
And who wins? Is it the person with the most points?
Yes, the person with the most points. So you have to set up a point structure that also works with your lead generation method.
Mm-hmm.
So 1 point, for example, could be downloading your latest PDF booklet on, arborists in Colorado.
Got it.
Or it could be that they need to watch your video on YouTube. Either way, you could say this type of lead generation method, you'll get a point, and you just put a tracking pixel on each one of those methods.
Mm-hmm.
So that then the dashboard is then updated and you're able to see the contest.
Interesting. So if you do this well, then you're getting people to consume more and more of your content.
Which builds trust.
Builds trust.
Much higher conversion rates.
Yeah. All right. Got it. So then boom, what happens? So basically the contest generates leads, right?
That's right.
And then the rest is up to the marketer.
That's right.
Okay.
So once they've generated the leads, you're generating the type of lead specifically that you're wanting, but then you're able to cross target based on the opt-in methods that they chose. So for example, let's say you do have a YouTube video and an opt-in book. Well, maybe they just go to the video and they don't go to the book. You could have a separate email feed for those individuals, allowing you to get better conversions, or a retargeting pixel to send a new ad to those people. You would get better conversions because you already know the medium of their choice.
Ah, so you obviously you can get very sophisticated and, again, granular with Facebook advertising. So you saw my YouTube ad, boom, you get a point. And then maybe the next day, hey, if you want to earn another point, you know, download this book on the, you know, eight things that every successful arborist does.
That's right.
Right. Okay.
And the best thing that you can ever add into a contest is making sure to give points every time someone shares the contest, because that's what allows it to grow and even become viral.
Yeah. All right. Got it. Okay. And so I don't know if you actually used an example, but conceivably somebody, if they had a little time out there and invested some resource into advertising, they could build a list fairly quickly.
Yes.
And so is this what you see a lot of marketers turn to when they want to expand the size of their list?
Yes.
This is it. Okay.
Yes. Got absolutely. It. This is usually, especially if you do broad targeting within niches, my second little secret that I'm willing to give away is that you can target audiences on Facebook based off of the interests. And if you specifically pick interests that are alike within an industry, you will have a greater chance of having further applications within that industry be very successful. So let me give you an example. If on Facebook you have an ad where, let me get the perfect example here.
Mm-hmm.
What it is it allows you to target, for example, let's say magazines. So you could say people that like this particular type of magazine or all of the magazines within my insurance industry, that could be where my clients are because they like to read magazines.
Oh, man. So
you could also target people based off of what other, you know, pages they go to or insurance agencies that they previously were with, et cetera.
Interesting. So, for example, if that, let's, again, the arborist. I know I beat arborists.
Right.
To death, and I don't mean to do that. It's just one of my clients is a big arborist agent. So, if they are an arborist and they also, for example, have liked Arborist National Magazine, boom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, so
exactly.
Okay, so now, do you bring that into the ad? How do you use that information, or are you just using it because you've noticed that people who read Arborist National Magazine convert better? How do you do that? What do you do with it?
So even though you're doing one contest, most people would think of that being one ad, but really what you should do is probably make at least 10 and as many as 13 or 14 of the exact same contest, but change who you're targeting, because that will show you the participation level of that audience. So if magazine people tend to share more and are more involved and they download your ebook, you know that that's where your audience is most likely to be, and they're more likely to sign up to your webinar or buy your product or so on and so forth. Schedule a consultation.
Do you include copy about that interest in the ad? So do you say, you know, for readers of Arborist National Magazine...
You can.
Sometimes
it works with split testing, and sometimes it backfires. So you have to be careful with that.
Talk to us about the split testing capabilities of Facebook, and maybe define what that is for some of the audience.
Sure. So split testing is when you put two different options against the same audience to see in the beginning, for the first 10% usually, of whether it's an email or a Facebook ad, that first 10%. Is going to define by how many people open it, watch it, interact with it, which one of the ads is going to be the very best to allow you to get the best rate from when you finally do publish that ad.
Got it.
So it's like pre-testing the waters to make sure that you get the best option.
A little historical anecdote here, back in the pre-online days,
mm-hmm.
You could pay some publications to do this. And so typically, this is one way that a lot of marketers did it. The Wall Street Journal was broken up into five regions in the United States. The smallest region I happen to live in, the Southwest region, was the smallest, but it was big enough to run a test. You know, I mean, there'd still be tens of thousands of Wall Street Journals being published. And every other one was, you know, here's ad A, here's ad B, here's ad A, here's ad B, and boom. That was, back in the old day, that's how split testing was done in trade publications or in print publications.
Totally.
Harder to do with trade publications. They usually didn't have the, you know, capacity to do that. Direct mail, of course, if you can control your direct mail, then, you know, all the big marketers would do split testing and direct mail. So now it's really relatively easy. And the smart person, you know, those split tests, I mean, sometimes, like, let's say Publishers Clearinghouse, you know, they're still a big mailer, but they were huge before, right? And apparently they were like split testing 17 different things. I mean, they basically would mail the country. Right. So there's like 200 million pieces of mail going out. Well, if you're doing that, you know, let's split test a few things. Right. They were like split testing 17 things. And so, you know, lots of versions of the headline, lots of versions of the offer, lots of versions of the color, whatever, all that kind of jazz. And then they would take that. And so sometimes in those splits, you know, maybe they'd get, you know, we got a, you know, a 3% bump here or 1% bump here. And, you know, you start compounding that, you know, here's an extra 1%, here's an extra 3%, here's a 7%, here's a 0.5%, you know, you start compounding that stuff and you end up with a very, very profitable marketing, you know, the conclusion of that strategy is very profitable. Right. However, in the real world, you know, I mean, that's those little conversion, you know, differences in conversion tend to happen in very mature organizations that have already tested the heck out of everything. In a lot of cases, I'm sure, you know, I'd be curious what your most extreme example was, but we'll often see a doubling or a tripling of response with split test changes that surprise you.
Absolutely.
It's like, really? It's like, I'm getting a 300% better response because I changed, you know, two or three words or something like that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
My favorite actually was I added an emoji. I had a 400% increase by adding a little flag emoji next to it.
So I missed that. What was the increase?
400%.
Okay, got it. All right.
Just from a flag emoji. That's my favorite. I was so shocked when I saw that. I didn't even understand. I had to double check the numbers.
Got it. All right. Okay. So then the lesson is flag emojis from now on.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, obviously this is the stuff that really, really matters. All right. So what, you know, other than, so like that's the process. I think you've defined a good process, you know, running a contest, having multiple options for split testing, driving people, you know, into your funnel, which unfortunately a lot of agents don't have, and then
you gotta get on that.
Yeah, well, you and I know we're gonna crack the code on that for the industry, and so I'm trying to, like, I'm up to step number three, and then using that for lookalike profiling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. So, what are you discovering, you know, like, what are the big mistakes that you see, you know, I would say amateurs tend to make in Facebook advertising, in the ad itself?
That's a really good question.
Well, I mean, maybe, you probably don't see the ads very often. If an ad's not successful, it's in nobody's interest, including Facebook, including the advertiser, to continue it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you probably have some template, you know, something to do. Like, there's imagery, there's appropriate headlines, there's the body copy, there's, you know, and so on and so forth. What do you have to think about when you create a good Facebook ad?
The first step usually is to check out what's already successful. Build off of the backs of others who have already done a lot of testing so that you don't have to start off with scratch. So in order to do that, you need some type of a program like Adplexity or AdBeat or one of those ones online that give the shopping network of all of the ads that are produced through Instagram or Facebook.
Wow. Now, I'm curious about, tell us a little bit about these platforms. It seems that they're incredibly useful. Are they expensive, and are there free versions?
They are slightly expensive.
Okay.
I believe that they are around a couple $100 a month usually, but
yeah,
you don't
okay.
have to keep them ongoing. It's something that you can have for a couple months while you're originally testing and getting your ideas. But it allows you to search based off of industries or even based off of domain names if you're wanting to find a very particular competitor.
Oh, what does my competitor do? Okay, so yeah. I'm going to ask you to name this category of software and then give us a couple of examples. You mentioned a couple. I just didn't catch them.
Sure. So it's ad spying. That's really what they call it, is spying on your competitor's ads. And then Adplexity. Adplexity.
Adplexity. Adplexity. Okay.
Yes. And that's a really good one. They have mobile as well as desktop versions uh-huh. and things like that you can see the ads. Not all of them do. And that's probably my favorite. I'd probably just
Got
stick
it.
With that one.
Yeah.
There's right. others as well, but it's the best. The
people can look. It's easy to find competitors. So
it's always easy to find competitors.
All right. Got it. And so, typically, so if we took all of like, these are the best of the best, these are the best converting ads, right?
Right.
What do you think the common characteristics are of those on Facebook?
So the best converting ads are almost always video.
Aha.
Even if it's a short clip, it's
okay.
almost always video.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm going to interrupt you, but
no.
I apologize to the audience. I'm an interrupter, but it's only because I want to get the answer to the questions that's useful to the audience. All right. Trust me. If I get dinged in social media, it's usually why can't Michael? Let the guy finish his thought. I apologize for that. So hold your thought. I want to zero in
sure.
the video. Is it, it seems to me there are a couple of ways to go with it. It could be like in this case, and in the case of Michael, could be a video of Michael, or it could be a video of something not Michael. So which direction do you go there?
So it depends on what you're selling.
Yeah.
If Michael is the thing being sold, then Michael should be in the video. Whereas if you have an agency, it might be more beneficial to have your best salesperson be in the video rather than the owner of the agency.
Okay.
The person they're most likely to encounter.
A real human being
yes.
has traction. Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
And
the video, remind me, on the current Facebook platform, it autoplays, right?
Select what you want when you choose the ad. So it can autoplay, it can loop, or it can just play a little snippet before, making you click the play button to choose to play longer.
Do you have a recommendation or a favorite among those options?
I choose autoplay.
Yeah, well, I would seem why not.
Right. If people don't like it, they'll just stop it or scroll by it.
Remind me now, is it autoplay video only or how do they get the audio?
It is video only for,
right.
audio, for autoplay.
Okay, got it. And then if they want to hear the audio...
Yes.
They click.
Then they have to actually hit the play button.
They hit the play button. Got it. All right.
Right. So the trick here is, and this goes across for YouTube as well in general, when you're doing video marketing, always get every video captioned.
Aha. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That way people can read it even with the sound off, and autoplays will generate a lot more return.
All right. What else is, besides, a talking
besides
head or whatever?
Besides the video.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Besides the video, people doing too short of posts, they believe that the graphic or the video, or the picture, are going to be the main things getting people to click, when in fact the copy, what is written, still has a major impact, because it depends on whether people are auditory, visual, or kinesthetic, whether that's the type of medium that they're looking for. And so a lot of people will just write a sentence of information or two sentences, whereas I've seen ads that have done more than seven figures that were eight paragraphs.
Okay.
Huge amounts of text that did really, really well. So it just depends on your audience and how much information they already have and then where you can take them to with that ad.
Got
some
it.
People like to watch videos, some people like to read, and it's very good to do both.
All right. So I want to clarify one thing for the audience. There are, two places where copy can go. In the... in the imagery of the ad itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, captions.
Right.
Right. And you can have a headline or whatever, right? You can have can have copy there. And then in the what you would call the post below it.
Yes. Okay. As well as the headline above the image.
And the headline.
So you get to choose your headline. Yes.
Right. Okay. So you have actually three options for copy.
Yes.
Okay. And obviously, I mean, you know, we can't give a copywriting course here, but you need good copy. Right?
Exactly.
You need copy that really delivers something. Okay, I have before I move on, anything else there in terms of do's and don'ts for quality Facebook advertising? This is a good list.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, it's good. Images would be something to pay attention to. Don't just send an image of yourself standing by your agency as your image. You know, you need to drive emotion with your image.
Uh-huh.
So if people make another mistake, it would just be using too generic of images. Think about it. If you're not going to use a video, then your image needs to say a lot.
Okay. All right. So I have another strategic question about advertising on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for the right words to express this one. So and I'm looking for the right words that make sense to my audience. So the question I'm getting at is location in funnel. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the knee-jerk reaction for an agent who wants to sell insurance. I want clients who want to buy insurance, right? Mm-hmm. And so the knee-jerk reaction might be, you know, yes, get me a guy who wants the insurance that I want to sell him right now. Okay.
Right.
That's pretty bottom of the funnel stuff, right?
That is.
top of the funnel, I have a niche. I nurture that niche. Let's say they're arborists, right? I realize that on any given day, the likelihood that an arborist is thinking, I need to find an insurance agent, is really very, very low, right?
Right.
On the other hand, on any given day, the likelihood that an arborist is, cares about his business and might be willing to click on 8 things that every successful arborist does, which makes no reference to insurance whatsoever, is high, right?
But
it is top of the funnel, and unless the agent marketer has a funnel of content that allows somebody to eat their way down into the funnel to the point where they say, you know, I really do trust this person, I really like this person, I realize that they sell insurance. But they really seem to get me. Boom. You know, when the time is right, they reach out with a click or a phone call.
Absolutely.
Generally speaking. Now, that being said, I realize that there might be people who, like, I want that product now. Like, yes, because I'll think of a dumb example. Let's say, you know, because I'm a camper. And now, you know, let's say the camping season is starting to roll around. Maybe I really do want that, a sleeping bag or a tent. I mean, it might go much more quickly to product, but in certain industries, my argument is ours, where we have a low desire product. You know, there are products that are high right. desire products, you know, like my next car, my next house, my next sleeping bag, my next Mercedes Sprinter van, whatever it is, I want it. But there are some low desire products like insurance. You know, people don't generally get juiced about insurance. Then the relationship cultivation, it strikes me as extremely important, and understanding how to get people into the top of the funnel, and then understanding how to move people through the funnel. Strikes me as it really is life or death in this kind of advertising. Yay?
You're absolutely
okay.
Right.
Got it. Right. All right. I suppose that was not a question. It was a lecture. I apologize for that. All right. So one or two last questions. Kind of looking forward. into the Facebook advertising world and the social advertising world, what do you see as the trends or forces that people will probably need to pay attention to or be affected by in the next, you know, few months or year or two?
Well, Instagram is definitely gaining momentum. And okay. when you do targeting on Facebook, it does not include targeting on Instagram, even though you can use the same platform, Facebook ad tool, to then use your ads on Instagram.
Okay, good point. A lot of people probably didn't know that. All right. So I mean, obviously it's one company. So the right. Facebook advertising platform gives you an option to go ahead and use the same, virtually the same ad.
Yes.
Okay.
You need to redesign it because of the platform.
Right, right.
Facebook has different image, you know, dimensions that look good for mm-hmm, them rather mm-hmm. than Instagram. But that's the simple part of it.
Okay.
So
other
what
trends
you need to pay attention yeah. to is that with Instagram becoming the major force, you're going to need tagging set up with your Instagram account so that you can build up your audience on Instagram, even though it's not the main niche now. It is moving in the direction that if you don't set it up now, and if they don't add in deeper targeting aspects, which they want to, but they haven't yet, you will be mostly out of luck in targeting in the future. So to save yourself from that, make sure that you're keeping track of your Facebook targeting while maintaining the Instagram at the same time. Not sending ads to Instagram, but instead utilizing Facebook, your contests, your posts, to drive the same people that are engaging with you on Facebook to engage with you on Instagram.
All right. Very good. All right. So just one or two last questions. One, I'm going to give you a chance to get on the soapbox and say something to the insurance industry. And I realize you're not an insurance professional. You're a marketing and a technology professional, but you've gotten to know the industry a little bit through me. Mm-hmm. If you could deliver a message to the insurapreneurs of this world, what would you say?
Hmm.
Yeah, I know. I'm putting you on the spot, but you know,
it doesn't have to be right.
Just go for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
To keep up with what's changing in the industries, you're going to have a funnel of some kind. You need to start implementing multiple pages. Websites are not like they were in the 2000s or even 2010 as things started really changing. You need to have something that has a function on every page. The about page still drives you towards something. There you have some type of an opt-in method. Because what this is all of the traffic generation that you can do with social ads or even Google ads, it still needs to work in tandem with your funnel. If you don't have a funnel in place, you're most likely going to be burning money on ads.
Got it. All right. So looking at the future, your prediction, and I'm not disagreeing with you as every serious marketer / insurance agent or insurapreneur, mm-hmm. everyone needs a funnel.
That's right.
Got it. All right. Dave, if somebody wanted to reach out to you and perhaps wanted to get your assistance with their Facebook marketing campaign, what's the best way that they can do that?
So they can reach me at my website, which is ellis.marketing, not .com, just .marketing. And then otherwise, I do all of my work through Upwork because I like to freelance and work with other awesome people online as well. So you can find me on Upwork by creating any type of a job that you're looking for with this Facebook marketing or creating your funnel. And you could talk to me one-on-one. We could schedule a consultation through there and figure out what the best route for you would be.
Got it. All right, my friend. And folks should know that's how you and I met, was on Upwork.
Absolutely.
So it's a really good platform. All right, Dave, thank you so much for sharing. I know you're busy. I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule on what is a really, really important topic.
Yeah, thank you. I had a lot of fun. This was really, really, really great time.
All right, thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.